And welcome
to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley and JC Rayfren. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
I didn't know it was French.
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley, Jesse Von Raspberry. Thanks for joining us.
That name's sticking, by the way.
Yeah.
Jesse Von Raspberry.
I really like that. It's way better than Jesse Von Rage.
Rage is terrible. Raspberries are great.
Yeah, exactly.
T-shirt right there.
Von Raspberry.
$15 in my hand, man.
Yeah, that's as easy as that, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just gave you a gimmick.
Gave me a gimmick.
Got a great show lined up. We're going to do some WWE talk. We're also going to sit down with Weimer, one of the co-owners of ACW.
The member of the board.
It's not what he said. Not a board member. He is one of the...
He's part of the ACW board.
He
said the word board.
No, he didn't.
He did. I think he was bored with your questions.
No,
that's why he said board.
He's a member of the ownership team.
Oh, I'm going to say...
He said the whole gimmick of saying commissioner or GM was kind of dumb, and board, it falls in that realm, because we all know that promotions don't have freaking boards. Are you kidding me?
I mean, they have 2x4s.
Okay.
All right.
Am I wrong?
We're not going to win this one.
Yeah, remember when we did that episode 2 weeks ago when he wasn't here?
Oh, man, that was like our highly downloaded one, too. You know, everyone downloaded that one.
It's the most downloaded episode in Gravel Talk history. And
we were number 135 on Sports and Recreational Podcast.
I mean, if that means more hits, then I'm okay taking time off, and you guys can just do this from now on.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do it like 5 days a week now.
We'll do 5 days. We'll do 7.
Perfect. Yeah, why not?
How about eight?
Eight
times in 7 days.
Send me the footage, I'll edit it, and then that'll be my contribution, as well as the upcoming shows.
Can you take your picture off of the logo then?
Yeah, I can do that too.
Nice.
Oh, wow. We can get a new logo.
We can get a new logo, right?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Start sketching it out right now, you know?
Yeah, wow. I'm like, my creative juices are just now flowing.
You two stroking each other off?
Yeah, stroking each other off.
You know, that's actually not a bad idea for a logo.
There
stroking
you go.
Each other off?
No, lockup.
Oh, lockup, yeah.
Yeah.
Stroke talk.
Stroke talk.
Hey, welcome to Stroke Talk.
That's very inoffensive. We can't be doing stroke talk.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Alrighty, so you can always head to our Facebook page. AC Riley just got that post up today, which is Thursday, but this episode probably won't drop for a couple of days. But anyways, grappletalk.com/the Facebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I think I just had a stroke.
Yeah, you might have.
Stroke talk.
It's karma.
We're not doing stroke talk.
Yeah, it's karma. You just type in Grapple Talk in the search bar on Facebook. It'll pop right up. You can do it in the Googles. You can do it whatever search engine you're using. The Bean, Yahoo.
Switched Grapple Talk in Facebook. When I was talking, I switched.
Yeah, I know you did. That would just going on from there, you know.
.com/Facebook.
That's what Jesse said.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you had a stroke, we have to act fast.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Easy enough, guys. Before we get to our ACW interview, which is a fantastic interview, I think we're talking about WrestleCon. They got a school that they're actually starting an open house here tonight.
Yeah.
So lots of things
for
happening
their third
in ACW.
Class.
Yeah, lots of things happening in ACW. Not a ton of anniversary show talk, but I guess there's something for fans to look forward to, and we kind of touched on that minorly coming up in our interview. But before we get there, guys, Road to WrestleMania, going to be kicking in high gear, obviously, after Fastlane, but some interesting things happening on both Raw and SmackDown this past week. And the first thing I wanted to ask you guys about has nothing to do with that. Broken Matt Hardy leaving TNA. What's going on there, Jesse? What are your thoughts on the Hardy boys?
I think it's a smart idea. TNA wants to basically rebrand themselves again, so it's Impact the Reborn, very much like how Noah did their Reborn. They cut as many big contracts as possible. Like Drew Galloway is gone, Jade is gone, like a lot of the big names are gone. They're rebranding. I think it's smart for the Broken ones, you know, like Brother Nero and Matt Hardy. They can go out and do whatever they want to. They got the cachet. The thing that's kind of weird, though, is the concept of whether or not the intellectual property that Matt Hardy has really basically done with the Broken Brilliance and all that is it owned by Impact or not. Hopefully they can figure that one out. The hot rumor right now, they're going back to the WWE because everyone goes back to the WWE. But,
apparently they've also been in talks with New Japan.
They've been in talks with New Japan, of course, because, you know, hey, that'd be a big thing there.
Elite,
they can do a little bit of shenanigans in New Japan, but... they can do whatever they want right now because they've they still have that cachet,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really unfortunate too for Matt and Jeff that in the contract negotiations, just the disrespect that they apparently got from that. Just them saying, "Well, we have options on the table." They're like, "Just go back to WWE, then we don't care." He's like, I mean, for me, it just seems like, you know, a lot of people are talking about Impact because of the broken Hardys. And then,
well, they're either talking about Impact because of the broken Hardys or because Impact has been sucking balls for the last 3 years.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is that regardless, is that in a lot of cases, you know, Matt Hardy, when he did the Broken Brilliance, a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, you got to check out the Final Deletion. You got to check out Delete and Decay. You got to check out Total Nonstop Deletion, et cetera. I mean, you know, Matt Hardy could not be, you know, anytime you listen to him on a podcast, he just couldn't be more proud of just everything that he's been able to do. And it seemed like it was a lock that he was going to stay at Impact. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, we don't want you anymore.
Here's how I kind of view this a little bit, if I want to try to put it into sports terms. So, Ace O'Reilly, please don't fall asleep. If you look at how I'm looking at Impact and the Hardy Boys, mm-hmm. basically I can see it from both ways. I can see how the Hardys would feel disrespected because Matt wanted ownership of Impact.
Right. Let's create control, the whole thing.
Let's be honest here. This dude wasn't asking for a nice little contract. This dude was asking for the world and then some, which many would argue he deserved. But when you look at what Impact's trying to do, they're basically going Moneyball right now with TNA, is what it kind of sounds like as Anthem's doing. And how they probably viewed it was, okay, we need to start this rebuild. Can we really afford to pay this dude this much and give him this much when we're trying to restart everything? It's like, I don't know. Look at the Yankees, right?
Even better.
Trying to start, are they going to pay A-Rod freaking $300 million to sit there and play in a shitty baseball team?
Right, he's already gone.
He's gone.
Better yet, just look at how the NFL free agency is really kind of playing out, where you're seeing guys just get let go just because they need to cut that money. Like Adrian Peterson's gone from Minnesota.
Yeah, he's a great player, but how much is he really going to offer to them as
Jamal
far as...
Jamal Charles is gone from Kansas City. Exactly. You know, Brandon Cooks has already been shopped around a couple different places, you know. For TNA, Impact, whoever you want to call them right now, like for them to do what they're doing right now is a smart move, and I think a lot of the veterans are kind of seeing that. That's why you're seeing the veterans get out as soon as they can.
And I think, you know, that's why I think it kind of works in both ways. Like, I think, TNA might be hurting its product a little bit. They're releasing some guys that had some name value, but at the same time, depending on how they move forward, if they can put these storylines together well and kind of get some name recognition for guys that didn't have it going in, maybe they can turn something into, you know, they can turn this... shine this turd up, I guess is a way to say
it. Remember, that's kind of how TNA was when they started out. They took a lot of young guys who had some indie buzz, and they paired them with some veterans who still had some cred, and it worked out.
Who knows? Maybe that Matt Hardy gimmick in 6 months, nobody's going to like anymore. I mean, gimmicks run their course, man. It's not like the broken thing's going to be great until the end of time.
Right.
I mean, at some point, you have to figure it's going to start pissing people off. I mean, for the longest time, everybody was talking about how the New Day is the greatest thing on God's green earth, and now all of a sudden, it sounds like they just get shit on left and right, and nobody likes their shtick anymore.
I mean, when they started out, it's just, okay, New Day is boring, and all of a sudden, they revamped, and oh, they're really interesting, and then now it's like, okay, they're kind of running their course. So.
And who knows? And I mean, if they do go to WWE, depending on the IP thing, and depending on how WWE wants to book them in the first place, we might not ever see this broken kind of Matt Hardy again if they were to go to WWE. But when you look at it from Matt's perspective too, you know, New Japan would be great. I highly doubt he'd sign a full-time contract there just because he has a family and he has a place to live here in
it
the United States.
It could very well be like a one-off thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, if there's anything happening there, I could see that. But, you know, they should. They probably do have quite a bit of money off merch and everything, and I don't think a move to WWE is necessarily vital to them staying relevant because
I will say this much is that on Matt Hardy's Twitter – he has the V1 like video like the,
does
the
he really?
Like he typed in like the Matt, like search Matt Hardy version 1.0
nice.
And then like instead of like him walking to the ring, it's actually you actually have like Matt Hardy like on the stage, so it's like kind of like mixing in Broken Matt with like V1. So
yeah, so he's got like Broken Matt facts, you know, like Broken Matt Hardy's been around since like, you know, 2,900 years, something like that.
I would love to see. I liked Matt Hardy V1. This is the thing. Like Matt Hardy was creative before Broken Matt. Mm-hmm. I thought V1 was freaking great. I love that gimmick.
That entrance was
a lot
kinda
better than V8.
Yeah, nice. I don't like V8.
Yeah, but I mean that entrance with V1, like the internet, the Matt facts, stuff like that was different. You know,
But it's very it's a relic of its time now. But we need to really get on to the road to WrestleMania because time is really short on this one, guys.
Yep.
We can sit here, we can talk about Broken Matt Hardy until like the fucking cows come home, but fuck the cows, right?
Wow.
So the road to WrestleMania. Something you really wanted to bring up was the fact that this was one of the first years in a very long time where the road to WrestleMania was basically as transparent as possible. Everyone kind of knew where exactly they were going to go. Now we're almost halfway there. Do you guys agree with some of the decisions that they decided to take?
Here's the problem that I'm running into. We talked about this before we started recording, and it's the idea of how easy it is to get out there and find out this information beforehand. I think like a month or maybe even 2 months ago, guys, like before the Rumble, we sat here and we were talking about it, and we already heard the rumors about, you know, AJ and Shane, and we already heard the rumors about Goldberg and Lesnar being for the belt, and we already knew about Kevin Owens and Jericho, and we already knew about Orton and Bray Wyatt, and we already knew all of this stuff. And now you're sitting, and you know, you're kind of sitting here a little bit, and you're like, well, you know, maybe hoping things are changing, and then you're just seeing all these storylines being booked into that match card that we saw in January. And I think, you know, part of it, I don't necessarily think I dislike the WrestleMania card, because when I look at it, I think it's actually quite enjoyable. I mean, I think
it's going to be a good card.
It's going to be a good card. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of being like, I've known this card since mid-January because I saw the reports of the, you know, the bookings of the matches, it's like, it's watch, you know, it's like you're watching a movie that you already know how it ends. So it's kind of like, you're just like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of watching this unfold? And I talked about it with Stacey Rye a little bit earlier this week, and it's like, I just long for the days, you know, watching Benoit at WrestleMania 20. I had no idea that dude was going to win the belt. Like, I didn't know that dude was going to win the Rumble. Like, I didn't know about any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously, times have changed a little bit, and we're a little bit older now, and we understand how the business works, but I just think sometimes knowing the things that happen behind the scenes and it, you know, kind of spoiling it a little bit, and sometimes it being hard to stay out of, just kind of ruins it for you a little bit. Because
now, is that part of just like the nature of the spoiler machine? Because almost anything gets spoiled these days. You know, like the second a show is done on TV, like the premiere episode or something like that, boom, pff, it's right out there. Like Uproxx is reporting on it, or someone's reporting on it. It's like no matter what you want, the second actually after it happens, you can find it no matter what. So is it just because there's so much going on that we have this need, we have to go out and find spoilers just to catch up instead of actually doing appointment TV?
Yeah.
Because what would have been different if, like, you just would have cut your internet off, right, and you just watch Raw live? Do you feel like it would have been different?
Probably, but I can't do that, man. You know, you like nowadays people live with their phones, they live with the internet, and with wrestling. I love pro wrestling. I want to get as much info as I possibly can. I love, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday after Monday Night Raw and Tuesday Night SmackDown are over. I love listening. I listen to like 10 different podcasts now, dude.
He does do that.
I listen to literally everything I can possibly listen to. I hear all the rumors in the dirt sheets, whether I try to or not try to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for somebody to say, oh, why don't you just like stay, you know, don't try to, it's like, I can't, dude. Like, I love pro wrestling.
You're saying you're addicted to the spoilers, but you hate the spoilers.
I'm not even addicted to the spoilers. I'm just addicted to pro wrestling. Like, every time I see some news, oh, this dude's coming back, I'll go, oh, shit, I gotta know everything I can about pro wrestling, blah, 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 blah. But then just when it comes to actually watching and appreciating the product, it kind of hurts a little bit, because I already know, like, with the whole AJ and Shane stuff, we saw this on Tuesday Night SmackDown, you know, AJ beating Luke Harper, and then the whole scuttlebutt happening on Talking Smack. It's just like, and now I'm just watching and I'm like, I already know where this is going, and it sucks already knowing it. Like, it's not like I don't appreciate what they're doing, and I don't appreciate what they're putting forward, but it just sucks being like, you know, like when Cena came out and the whole thing happened with Miz, great segment, but it's still like, I knew this was going to happen, and it wasn't as good since I already knew it. You know what I mean?
I get what you mean. Now, is it one of those things where, let's just put spoilers aside, do you think they're almost being too on the nose with their foreshadowing? So, like, the second they do something, they go, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I don't know, maybe. And I don't know if it's WWE's fault as much as it's just probably a day and age that we live in now, where everything's so accessible on the internet. Like I said, mid-2000s, even late-2000s, I felt like I had to go searching. If I wanted to find dirt sheets, if I wanted to know what was happening, I had to go looking for it. Now I feel like, you know, the click of a button, all of a sudden I see the full WrestleMania card. It's like, oh, okay.
Why, well, hell, you
that.
Just log on in your Facebook. It's on the newsfeed.
It's how easy you it know? Is, man. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to get away from it, and I think that kind of, at least for me, hurts the product a little bit, because now, while I said, like, I appreciate the product, and I appreciate what they do, and I like watching everything, but I find myself only popping now when they go off the rails a little bit. So, like, if Shane and AJ didn't work at WrestleMania, if something else were to happen, I'd be like, wow, that's a really interesting angle. Even if Shane and AJ already is interesting, but since I already know that's the direction they're going, I don't find it as interesting. It's kind of hard to explain, but that's just how I feel with everything. What about you, AC?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things where I just remember, you know, way back in the day. Like, I mean, for example, like, WrestleMania 21, like, when Batista won the...
It's terrible when you guys refer to that as way back in the day, by the way.
Well, so. it was a few years ago.
It's like 12?
It's a lot of time ago. See, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not wrong. But anyways, no, I remember, you know, WrestleMania 21, the setup, you know, you had Batista, you had Evolution, you had him, you know, he won the, you know, the Royal Rumble. They're obviously trying to get him to, you know, face JBL for the belt and SmackDown, Evolution takes over. And then, like, when he did the thumbs down and it was set up Batista and Triple H, like, that was for me, I was like, oh, shit. Because, like, you kind of figure it's like, okay, that'd be actually kind of cool. Evolution takes over, you know, they have both the main belts. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, it's Triple H and Batista. Like, that was, like, one of those times, like, for me, like, that I was actually a big fan of Batista at the time because it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I'm excited for that match.
Right.
So, I mean, and now it would be like, oh, hey, Batista's rumored to face Triple H at WrestleMania, and it's like, God damn it, I knew that was going to happen.
Now, you think it's just maybe because you guys weren't looking for those rumors and spoilers back in the day so much?
I think it's a lot.
I can tell you this much. As someone who was actually around during that time and actually looking for rumors and spoilers and shit like that, you could find it no matter what.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of it, too, is that now that, like, since we've been in the business for a while now, I think it's like, we know the curtain's kind of peeled back, so it's like I think it's more so that all the signs are there. You know, all the signs have been there since before we looked at spoilers and everything like that, but now we're noticing them more now that we know kind of what goes on. So I think it's almost like it's almost like learning a new language and then realizing there's a lot of subtle differences that you didn't realize before you learned the language. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm just saying basically what it sounds like is, like, you guys love wrestling so much, but you hate the spoilers. So at this point in time, because of the way wrestling is actually reported on, spoilers is a big part of that. So the further you go down the wrestling pipeline, the more you're going to get cut by those spoilers. It's very much a double-edged sword.
Right.
You guys are damned if you do, damned if you don't. So when do you stop just, like, paying attention to spoilers and just having fun with it again?
Right.
I don't know, man. And that's a difficulty.
Remember when Matt Hardy came to lacrosse and did that autograph signing for Toys R Us? We asked him, was like, hey, because this is like right after he got injured by Kane. And then,
this
like,
a long time ago.
And he was doing autograph signings. So we went to Toys R Us on lacrosse or on Alaska, whatever you want to call it. So, and then sure enough, we go up to him and, you know, we're getting our autographs, like, hey, man, when are you coming back to Raw? And he's like, oh, I'll be back in February. We watched every episode of Monday Night Raw because we were waiting for Matt Hardy's return. And then, like, if we would have been, like, you know, privy to spoilers, we probably would have seen all the writing on the wall.
Released or something.
But, like, we literally read, like, we watched every episode of Monday Night Raw because we were like, oh, Matt Hardy. So, when that last Raw of February, so I was like, oh, Matt Hardy's coming back today, dude. Guaranteed, because that's what he told us. We got worked by Matt Hardy. But then again, at the same time, if we would have known the spoilers, I'm sure that it was like, oh, Matt Hardy probably getting fired here soon or something like that, or not returning from injury.
I actually asked Matt when his brother Jeff was coming back. He probably took offense to that, even though I was a little kid.
He's like,
I was a little dick.
Hey, fuck you. I'm coming back in February.
Yeah.
Oh, so like, maybe you guys are the reasons why he's broken now.
Maybe.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool to have that accolade. And
well, like you did fuck up one of those spots in this match with Sean Priest, though, but that's a different story altogether.
Wow.
All right, guys. Well, we got to move on because we do have a big interview coming up with Josh Weimer talking the ACW Water City WrestleCon. This is going to be a huge thing coming up in April.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge thing. I mean, just off the top of my head, if I can remember all the names that they have there, it's El Toledo. They got, or is it Torito?
Torito.
Is it Torito?
Torito.
El Toledo.
Toledo.
Toledo. Isn't that like a college or something?
We got
Vicky Guerrero. We have Carlito Caribbean Cool. We have Kevin Thorne. We have Mr. Anderson. And then we also have, don't forget about this one, guys, Bret the Hitman Hart going to be in Oshkosh for the first time since 1992. I don't care who you are, dude. If you are even like sort of kind of maybe not really even a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't even know what we're going to do. I feel like I'm going to be starstruck when I see Bret Hart. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, that's freaking Bret the Hitman Hart. Like, lock that sharpshooter on me right now, homeboy, because I need to get that feeling. You know what I mean?
He's going to be like, I got to go.
He's
like,
gonna be
over
like,
here.
Yeah, right. But it's going to be a really cool show. April the 22nd, Weimer's going to be coming on to talk about that a little bit and everything else ACW has going on in 2017. Looking forward to that one. Stick it here on Grapple Talk. Our Spotlight Squared Circle is up next.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
What you gonna do is good music and G-Unit.
Yeah. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up.
Wait a minute.
Big blue, cotton candy shoot, cotton candy coupe, hard knock, off in any loop, off the stoop. Play with me, see what the scrammy do. My canary shoot, high beams pointed right at you. Peekaboo, Benji paper made me hate a poo. All your fame reduced, Najee twice, purple haze and goops. Got me loose, kick my way and now I got the juice. Gucci bubble boots, 1,000 kicks, couple hundred boots. Getting flu. My top down, I'm flashing on them. I'm passing all them, pull over and hit the hazards on them. The phone and pay my dues, now it's back to balling. The rap's a boring dead man, I dip the casket for them. I'm back performing, I bag them, break their back, don't call them. Look down on them, like the Ken Bay, Patrick Morning. Cash is pouring, stunt storming, got this up. Camera phones capture everything, right. The pitch is
done. You know
done.
They mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up.
Who keep his G's in the alloy safe? It's that's the in the Altoid case. They say good things come to those who wait. So I'ma be at least about an hour late. I'm so fresh, but I should be arrested. New Cody Tesla with my on your chest, boo. She said, hey, I said, yes, boo. Damn, I'm only asking you a question. I met this MILF at the All-Star getting action. A cougar with more rings than Phil Jackson. Told her beauty is why God invented eyeballs. And her booty is why God invented my ball. I'm a rock star. Start it up. Start it up. So popular, you should get a shot of us. Don't take shots at us, that is only obvious. The first album I vomited, the second I colonicked it. Ain't nobody fighting with me, I plutonicked it. Bet I got some slippers on, bet going on of it. These ain't even real clothes, homie, I'm pajama rich. Banks told me, homie, gon' switch the style up. These told me, homie, only to arouse us. Told her I ain't paying tonight, I'm only browsing. She pulled a blouse up, said it's free, I said, wow.
You know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up. You know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up.
Wait a minute.
Ninja.
Kawasaki.
Ducati.
My old holly.
Rock the party.
Move your body.
What's up?
Everybody.
Taking shots, never penetrate. Money generate. If we ain't in the house, renovate. Tryna eat, we ain't finna wait. Where's the dinner place? BMW, 10 to 8, interstate. 95, passenger, bad as interstate. Half Spanish, half Trinidad, complexion Henny straight. Y'all ain't got y'all ministry. Track star, finna state. Time is money and I can't afford to be a minute late. It's time to make a movie, let the haters watch. Diamond spinning round a bezel, that's tornado watch. My independent chick, I like my lady's couch. She got an appetite for type, I guess her place my, that soft potato top. Lord, try me not, under the wing, fried rice at the Chinese spot. I hear him talking it, but ain't really living it. Opinions are like, what's that? So who gives
you
a
shit? You know they mad, cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want a problem? Start it up.
You know they mad cause I'm hood rich. You never ever seen a good trick. You want the problem? Start it up.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to... Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines, I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.DaveDynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
This is Jordy Lee on Talk is Jericho. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
We are sitting down today with one of the members of the ACW ownership team, Weimer.
Weimer.
Josh Weimer. I never know, dude. Like, this happened last week, too, where it's like, I don't want to break the fourth
his,
wall. The
his gimmick. Name is Josh Weimer, but just everybody calls you Weimer.
I don't know if that's your gimmick, man.
My company calls me Josh, and my mother calls me Josh. That's about it.
Okay. See, there you go, man.
There you go.
We got Weimer joining us.
Sometimes it's just easier to call people by their last name.
From ACW. Oh. And one of the big things that we want to talk about, Weimer, with you, we've had you on the show before, but the big thing for you guys coming up, your next show in April, WrestleCon, really quick, you know, give us a little summary of that whole big thing you got going on before we dive into the questions.
It's going to be big. We came up with the idea back, I want to say, October, talking with Tommy Dreamer and Dave Hero, actually, about what they did with Blizzard Brawl. And between Dylan Colucci and I, we said, why can't ACW do it? So we kind of dove straight in and contacted Bret Hart, and it was downhill from there. So Bret Hart's coming April 22nd. Water City WrestleCon is the name. Oshkosh, Sunnyview Expo Center, actually, is the location that it's going to be. It's going to be big.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so you got Bret Hart on the card as well. Actually, a lot of names here.
Well, Bret Hart, Mr. Anderson, Vicky Guerrero, El Torito. Carlito.
He spits in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
You got Kevin Thorne.
Yeah,
you got Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, basically.
You got a lot of big time names here at the show. I mean, it's a Sunnyview Expo Center. Is that going to be able to hold all those names in there?
Yeah, the capacity on that building is 2,800. So, we hope once we fit the ring in there that if we fill 2,000 people in there, that we'll be in pretty good shape.
So 2,000 is a good night, but obviously more than that would be a great night.
Correct. Correct. It's going to be standing room only. There's no doubt in my mind. We will not be able to find enough chairs to seat people, so get there early. Reserved seats are already sold out, so general admission is all that we have, and get there early so that you make sure you get a seat.
That's right. I think the last time I checked on your guys' Facebook page, you only had like 70 general admission tickets left, so out of the 2,000, there's not quite a lot of room left.
Well, we didn't print 2,000 tickets. We're That's a marketing ploy to try to get you to buy tickets early.
Just peeking behind the curtain right now.
Yeah. Rumor and innuendo is the new phrase on Something to Wrestle With podcast. So that's what we're going to roll with. Rumor and innuendo is that there's only 70 tickets left to this
so,
event.
So you guys weren't pulling, were you guys pulling stuff out of the gimmick box as well, too, with that or not?
No gimmick box. But we did announce that there will be a big battle royal. That was announced, Tuesday, I think?
Yeah, $5,000 winner-takes-all battle royal. That's huge.
Can the commentators get in on that, by the way?
I have to ask. That'd be awesome.
Hey, I don't do the booking. I just do the business.
Hey, Nick, you and me, we can split that 50-50,
all right? We'll work
together
and we'll try to get stage stuff.
It won't be like, WrestleMania 4, Bad News and Bret Hart type of thing, and I break your trophy afterwards, But, it'll be pretty good.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, all right.
No, there's really no rules and restrictions on who can enter. Just be trained and let us know ahead of time that you're coming.
All right, cool. So we got about a month, Nick.
I've been training this whole time. I've been training for like 7 years, Jesse.
8 years.
Not even
this moment.
Is that going to be your song when you come out too?
Yes, it definitely is.
I mean, speaking of training, we have this fancy thing called the ACW Training Academy, which we actually have an open house tonight. Thursday the 2nd starts at 6 o'clock. Open house, we have close to 20 kids that are interested in learning to become a professional wrestler, manager, or referee. So
now with the training center, the training camp, has this just totally blown you guys' expectations that there's been that many people who want to become wrestlers?
Yeah. The first school or the first class that we had, that's when Randy Fitzsimmons came out of, Big Mike Morris and Big Cat Chris Bogger. Those three came out of it, and that class started with about 14, and one by one they kind of just drop out. Our new class was right around I think 7 we're at, and we started with maybe 10, 11. So we're starting with double what we normally start with, and we'll see how many stick it out. Wrestling's not for everybody. I tried it back in 2005. It wasn't for me. It's not for everybody. Doesn't mean you can't be involved in the business. Just I can't physically be a wrestler. It's not fun for me.
We know you guys are definitely putting on quite a good show out there in Oshkosh. Going back to WrestleCon a little bit, just kind of want to talk to you and get your opinion on just more or less what you guys are going to be doing. I mean, when you think about it, you're bringing this new kind of WrestleCon culture that, where fans can gather and for more than just wrestling. What was the idea behind doing something like this in Oshkosh opposed to just another, one of your ACW shows?
Yeah, I mean, the Comic-Con phenomenon is taking off like crazy. You can go to any kind of comic book convention and you have vendors and comic book writers and actors and wrestlers. That's what we wanted to do, but we wanted to focus strictly on wrestling. So VIP starts at 4 o'clock. All of our superstars will be there signing autographs, taking pictures, starting at 4 for VIP, 5 o'clock for general admission, and they'll be signing and taking pictures up until the show starts at 7. So the earlier you get there, the more guys you can meet. You can get photos. We'll have vendors, everything from beard oil to wood burnings to, I think, some guy that just messaged me today makes his own Bloody Mary mix.
Oh, wow.
He wants to come and be a part of it and sell whatever he has. There's an inflatable, steel chair, an inflatable garbage can vendor that's coming from Sheboygan.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's literally, there's going to be so much to do. Besides just going and taking pictures and getting autographs with not only all these names that we're having in, but all of our local talent, Avalon and Sadist and Colucci, and all those guys are going to be all there signing autographs, and taking pictures of people.
No, you're still good.
Nice, Riley. Nice.
Yeah.
I get emails, so apparently.
Mine too. I better make sure that mine's on silent. Okay.
That's a shot at you, Riley.
Yeah.
Thanks for the reminder.
You're welcome. See, it was a ploy. That wasn't accidental. That was just strictly being like, hey, Weimer, is your phone on silent?
Yep. Well, it's on vibrate, so it's possible that it'll still go off. But
trying to get back on track.
Just know that it's going.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Weimer, too, really quick about the event, the WrestleCon. The interest for this, and I mean the reception that you guys are most hoping to get. Just packing that place. What is this going to do for you guys moving forward?
The possibilities are endless. if this goes well, you know, normally what we would do is our anniversary show, we bring in 2-3 names and we pack the Masonic Center. You know, if something like this takes off like we think that it will, there is a big possibility that we do multiple of these per year. We might do another Water City WrestleCon, you know, in the fall or in the winter, just to break things up a little bit. If the reception comes to where we can't hold people in the Masonic Center anymore, then we have to find a new venue. And if that's the case, then we're drawing over 500 people a show, which is unheard of in the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
So where it takes off from here, I guess we'll find out April 23rd, after the day after, when we know the total number of fans that show up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that I know that we've talked to you and Dylan a lot about, but the fact that ACW has had multiple homes because you always outgrow the venue because you draw in, you know, fan base after fan base after fan base, and you're actually over the max capacity level. And yeah. I know that was actually a realistic problem that you guys were, you know, worried about with the Masonic Center, was that, you know, if the shows keep getting packed and then you get more people, that's going to be an issue. And of course, you guys just had the benefit show at the Oshkosh at Oshkosh West, I believe it was. Oshkosh West High School. I mean, that show was packed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's safe to say, I mean, granted, maybe I'm counting my chickens a little bit too early, but it kind of seems like, as far as getting 2,000 people, that at least you guys are definitely up to the challenge, because you guys are always filling the venues you go to. It's not like some, you know, promotion that draws 50 on their best night and it's like, oh, we can fill in 2,000, no problem.
Right. No, it's we knew that we wouldn't be able to run this event at the Masonic Center. If that were the case, we would be scrambling already, because I think we've sold close to 500 tickets. So knowing that, there's no way that we'd be able to put 500 people in the Masonic Center, and we're still a month and a half away from this actual show. So the commercials haven't started yet. We got some guys going down to Milwaukee on Sunday for the pay-per-view to hand out flyers. So the interest is going to jump up a lot, I think, especially once there's already radio going on, I guess. But once the commercials and the flyers start taking off, we could sell another 500 pretty quickly. And you never know. We don't know what to expect until that day. So
when you guys are coming up with a plan for the Water City WrestleCon, and you decided to go with Bret Hart, you know, Bret Hart hasn't even been in Oshkosh since like 92. Like, this is a huge dream for you guys to get this one. And I think the second you get that casual fan interested, you know, right after that pay-per-view and everything like that, you guys are definitely going to hit your 2,000 mark. You might even surpass it. And what happens if you guys surpass that mark? That's a big question. Is like, you guys going to have to turn people away? You're going to feel really bad about that?
That would be the best problem to have, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We would feel absolutely awful saying that we can't let you in. But if that's the case, then we know that we did something right.
Right.
And if we're doing something right, then we learn for the next time that, okay, we can't fit more than 2,000 people in the expo hall. Where's the next biggest place that we can go? So if we do have to turn people away, we will. Unfortunately, that's the case. But we can't have fire marshals coming in shutting the entire show down because we let too many people in. So it would be a great problem to have, I guess, but it's a problem that we hope that we don't have to deal with. We don't want to turn anybody away and have them not want to come back to an ACW show in the future because they weren't let into one. But we'll evaluate that once April 22nd rolls around and we see how many people are filling that place up.
Once you get rid of those 70 tickets, right?
Those 70. Yep, once those 70 are done.
So WrestleCon, obviously really big to look forward to. I mean, you can just sit here and look at this card all day, and it's honestly just crazy to think that this is happening just in Oshkosh. It's unbelievable. You got the wrestling school going on right now, too. What else is exciting about ACW this year, Weimer, that everybody can look forward to?
Always the anniversary show. I know who, at least one name that we're bringing in for it. I can't give that away. Dylan will be pissed. but April 22nd, I think once we get past that, we picked up a number of shows this year. We're doing two shows at Tanner's. We did the Oshkosh West show. We're actually working with the Oshkosh Speed Zone racetrack and doing some shows out there.
Oh, cool.
So there's going to be a lot more ACW going around this year. which is great news for our season ticket holders, which we started that. This year, season tickets, we have, I think, almost 38 or 36 season tickets sold.
Wow.
Which means that those front row seats are sold for every show throughout the rest of the year already, which is pretty cool. All of those fans get pretty much every show the rest of the year for free since they already paid for it. So they're getting a lot more value for that season ticket. But otherwise, I don't know, man. Like, ECW is just taking off, and I guess we'll see. April 22nd is going to be huge. Like you said, you know, Brett's obviously a main draw, but Swaggo and El Torito in a WLC match. WLC 2.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
The epic rematch. It's crazy. You know, it's happening in Oshkosh. That's the crazy part, right? About that match, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, just having Vicky Guerrero, who is the most down-to-earth, sweetest woman that you'll ever meet, literally talk about you, about anything with you. She's just that kind of a person, and she's a figure. You know, just to be able to be in Oshkosh and hear her yell, "Excuse me," once, oh my God, it's going to be priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be great. So the only other thing is we did have the one little drawback that we had Hurricane Helms booked. And due to contractual obligations with TNA, he's the head of creative there, so he found out after we had booked him that TNA TV tapings are that week, and he was not going to be able to be at our show. So he had to pull out, which we were really, really bummed about. I've never met Hurricane. Pretty much the only one on this list that I haven't met. And I was really looking forward to it. But we found a suitable replacement in Carlito pretty quickly. So it will be good. Carlito's going to work a singles match against somebody that I'm not going to say yet, where Hurricane is going to be in a tag match, which I guess I can give away, right? We're not going to do it.
Yeah, sure, you know.
The original idea was we were going to do Hurricane Helms and Jordy Lee against the newly formed, has never happened yet, tag team of Hot and Randy, which is going to be Bobby V and Randy Fitzsimmons.
Oh, God. I love that name. So, that is a
you
want to
talk about
name.
A match that was full of gimmicks. That would have been the one.
Unfortunately,
it's not going to happen, so...
I think if you add like Jordy Lee with like a cape and just like a mask of some sort, like a superhero mask or something like that, like he's a superhero in training. I think that would have been absolutely
like
phenomenal. Yeah. Like Rosie,
come on, don't call him shit.
I didn't. So, I said a superhero in training.
But it's going to be Carlito who wants to work a singles match, so we get one of our superstars a little bit of a shine, and somebody who's been working really hard for us. So it'll be good for them.
But everyone wants to know now, since you actually let the cat out of the bag, Bobby V and Randy Fitzsimmons, are they actually going to team sometime down the road? Because now, like,
they will be teaming up. We've actually got some ideas for some Mr. Perfect / Million Dollar Man vignettes that we're going to run with them, and you know, just to introduce them, because Bobby's never been at the Masonic Center. Bobby debuted by us at the Oshkosh West show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't at the Oshkosh West show, you have no idea who Bobby V was. So we're going to introduce him, and he will be at Water City WrestleCon as is, but he will not be in a tag team match.
So you know, speaking of Oshkosh West really quick, so I mean we got to brush up on a little bit of you know, the fact that the show went well, and obviously there was a huge turnout. I mean, the build up of Oshkosh West is actually pretty impressive on its own, because I mean, you know, here you guys are thinking that you're going to be in the small gym, you know, it's just going to be a benefit show, just you know you're just going to have a spot to hang out in, and then all of a sudden you find out that you get the bigger gym. And they're advertising the show on their morning announcements, which is on its own pretty awesome. You know, of course, you got a ton of people that are alma mater of Oshkosh West. And then fast forward to, you know, hopefully the show goes well. And it packs the place. You know, you got a loud crowd. You guys raised actually quite a bit of money. So you can, you know, talk a little bit about that, just that experience and just being able to donate all that money to the high school.
Yeah, it was the absolute best feeling in the world. Oshkosh West worked extremely hard. They were doing 3 announcements per day for like a month leading up to it, and then Dylan actually went and did a couple of assemblies, like I think 2 of them, one Thursday and one Friday leading up to the show for their entire school, and that drew a lot of attention. We then found out that we were doing the big gym, not knowing whether there was going to be 100 people that show up or 500 people that show up, and they let us get in there early while school was going on to set up the ring, and that I think that drew a lot of last-minute interest, that they got to walk past and see, like, holy crap, there's actually a wrestling ring in our gym. Like, this is going to be really cool. They put up their, they have this big inflatable entrance, which was awesome. We got to come out of this high school inflatable entrance. And then literally the doors opened and 525 people poured through the doors. And, it blew our minds. That was our biggest draw ever. And it felt really good. We were able to turn around, and 2 weeks later, we cut them a check for $5,000 to give back to them for their weight room project, which is the coolest feeling in the world, just to be able to give money back to the community like that. So
that is definitely
really happy. We're looking at doing it again next year. So
that is definitely really cool, Weimer. Really cool things that you guys are doing out there, not only putting on great wrestling shows, but kind of giving back to the community of Oshkosh. We're wrapping this interview up. I know we've kind of been all over the place, but one good place for people to go is where, if they want to stay up to date on everything that is ACW?
Facebook.com/ACW Wisconsin. That is our main form of all kinds of announcements. Message us if you need anything. ACWWisconsin.com is where you can get your tickets. Also, House of Heroes in Oshkosh is selling tickets as well.
Awesome. Perfect. Weimer, Josh Weimer, ACW member of the board.
What are you saying?
He doesn't have a
every
damn title.
Clue what he's saying right now.
I don't know. I figure we list all the titles and accolades and avoid everything like CEO and commissioner as per requested.
Well, you forgot like WWE Network subscriber.
He is also a network subscriber.
$9.99.
He likes long walks on the beach, I think, possibly.
We're in Fastlane this weekend, too. We might see you there.
Yeah, we might see you at Fastlane, too.
What match are you looking forward to most?
I wish that I could say Goldberg and Owens, but I'm not.
Right.
To be honest, I'm actually going to go with Bayley and Charlotte, because I'm a big Bayley fan. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most. That's really sad, but that's what I'm excited for.
I mean, that's not sad. It's a good match to look forward to, honestly.
Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe, I'm hoping that they can do something better than they did in NXT, but that's just me.
Absolutely.
Right. I
think they give them enough time and let them do some fun stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I think Joe's going to steal the show.
Yeah, it's a pay-per-view, which, technically the takeovers are the pay-per-views of NXT, but, it's a little bit longer that they have more time to work with. I got to say, I think I'm looking forward to Neville and Gallagher. I think they'll be a pretty good showing for the Cruiserweight division.
Yep, I definitely agree. If they do a little bit of what they could do on the Cruiserweight Challenge, where it was hard-hitting, it was fast-paced, it was high-flying, I think they're kind of holding those guys back on Raws and the 205 Lives. So I'm hoping that they let them do some fun stuff. I know they can both do ridiculous amounts of high flying. So
I will say this. If for some reason during the Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman match the lights go out and Undertaker shows up, I'm going to personally try to find you and Big Mike and all the other ACW guys are going to be there and give you high fives and talk about how awesome that was.
So you're just
going
to run through the center and just start slapping people?
Yeah.
As cool as the lights out and him just being there would be, if he's going to be there, I hope that they let him do a full entrance.
Oh, my
gosh. Because there's nothing like seeing an Undertaker entrance. You get chills. It actually feels cold in there. It's ridiculous, and it's the coolest thing in the world. I also hope that there may be a Finn Balor sighting there. So
yeah,
now you're just blowing up the hype, man.
I think now that we're getting definitely really excited, so I think we got to wrap this up. So we
go ahead. You want to take two? You want to try it again, bud?
No, I just think that if we keep talking about Fastlane, we're going to get so excited.
We'll
be here for hours, and we got to give up the board at five. So Weimer, thank you for joining us. Look forward to see you on Sunday, and we'll probably see you at WrestleCon as well, April 22nd.
Absolutely. April 22nd. We will see you guys soon.
That's Josh Weimer on the Spotlight Squared Circle. Stick around for more Grapple Talk. We'll be right back.
Heading on a wrestling road trip.
Yeah, don't sleep on road trips with the bruises. You either end up without an eyebrow or you got something drawn on your face.
Well, download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.grweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hello, wrestling fans. Lads, Colt Cabana coming to you live from the one-hour tease arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And uh-oh, looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5. Anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Apparently Del Rio's on Impact, or he's at an Impact show.
Oh, that's cool. Good for him.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing about Impact is that they're doing,
They want all their contracts to be exclusive.
Yeah.
Which is a different direction that they're taking, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was honestly kind of the cool thing about, like, Impact, where they were allowed to still do indie dates, and it's like, oh, hey, I've seen on Impact TV. It's like,
well, there's probably a reason why they want to do it like that, because, like, with the expansion of their UK market, basically they're going to actually televise all the pay-per-views, all the specials, all that stuff. I wonder if they have plans to hook up maybe with, like, the Fight app or something like that, where there's a lot of guys now being stuck in contracts where they can't go somewhere else, where they're streaming, doing DVD sales and stuff like that. So I think this is just part of wrestling in 2017.
Do they still own the tape library?
Yeah, they still own the tape library.
Do you think it'd be a good idea for TNA to come out with their own sort of app or some sort of way to give out their library, and maybe they could put their pay-per-views on that and maybe upload their their shows after a couple of days?
It could be, but they need the infrastructure to really do that with the stream, because like that was the big thing holding WWE back for their network for the longest time was the infrastructure. They would need the infrastructure, definitely. They could almost do like a video-on-demand thing and rotate stuff out. Mm-hmm. But what I would really do is I would try to fucking sell my dick off to like Netflix or like Hulu or one of those streaming sites, even Yahoo. Not Yahoo, but YouTube's got their new one coming out
YouTube
for like $35 a month. Yep. It's like you get a certain amount of cable channels. that's what you would have to do, is try to find a place that's going to allow you to actually have all that content and actually has the infrastructure that you can take care of.
I think Netflix would be a great idea.
It would be. The only question is, though, it's like Netflix has got to feel that it's a reasonable buy for them, because there's... Dude, did you see how much money they're actually throwing Scorsese for that new movie?
I didn't.
It's $105 million.
Holy fuck.
It's a Scorsese film with De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci.
Is it a fucking, like, is it a fucking some sort of a mob movie or some shit?
Oh, well, no shit. Those names attached, it's going to have to be. So, yeah.
I think, honestly, like, the idea behind striking, like, an episodic deal with Netflix, where you do a season, like you almost do a Lucha Underground's doing, but instead of doing it on a fucking outright network that nobody has, you do it on Netflix, would be a fucking awesome thing for a wrestling company to do.
Yeah, it would be really kind of good, because like if you think about like the TV taping structure, right? So you can get, I think they tape maybe like 4 or 5 episodes at a time, right? If you can get those all edited and in the can, send those out, and then if you can do taping every... Maybe you have like 4 weeks of taping. You get 20 episodes out like that, about like an hour each. That way you don't have to worry about guys getting injured or something like that. You can get that season out. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Maybe do like do a season every 6 months or something, just to keep it kind of fresh and keep it whatever.
And maybe you just do 3 sets of tapings.
Yeah.
3 to 4 sets, you know? Why not?
I don't think that'd be a bad idea. You're on Netflix then, you're on a streaming service, and, you know, Netflix can kind of see how it looks then, and... I guess a lot of things that Netflix does is shit, though. Like, if you actually dive deep into Netflix does a lot of really good things.
They got
a lot of shit, too. So, I mean, I guess I was going to
say. I thought, TNA did have, they were leaking some of their stuff, you know, quote-unquote officially on YouTube, they had a channel and stuff like that, so they would have classic matches. I know, Ring of Honor was doing that for a while, too. I don't know. Ring of Honor does do their video on demand service too, with their membership fee. Mm. So it's like, I think it's like $10 a month.
Is it?
But at the same time, though, you still have to pay for like the pay per views through like a third party provider, like a fight app or something like that.
What are we doing with this third segment, anyways? Are we just doing a quick wrap and say bye?
I got a question. So
for perspective,
commentator's corner.
Okay.
All right. I still think we should probably just take some of that we just talked about and put it in, because it's pretty good.
All right. Riley wants to figure out a place to put that in, unless we're going right now. Are we going?
Yeah.
We're going right now?
Yeah.
All right, so apparently we are back. We've been talking for a little bit, so welcome back.
We didn't see the on-air sign. You know, it was kind of weird. Here we are just, like, spitballing ideas of what exactly, like, Impact Wrestling should be doing, and, it was good stuff, though.
Yeah.
Some of the best stuff we talk about, it's, like, you know, not when the tapes are rolling.
It's the candid stuff.
That's the stuff that we always do, because, we'll talk.
It's the unstructured talk.
We'll talk about something for, like, 15 minutes, and we'll be like, oh, let's try to save this for the episode, and then we'll try to, like, redo it, and it's never as good.
No,
it's just we should probably just use whatever we have already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's that. So, AC Riley, I mean, just a few minutes ago, you said you had a commentator's quarter question, so go ahead.
So, you know, in the first segment, we were talking about spoilers, and we're talking about how wrestling, you know, it was too predictable. You know, we you and I mentioned instances where, you know, there was a time that, you know, for example, you didn't realize that Chris Benoit was going to win the belt at 20, and I was talking about how Batista, you know, turned on Triple H for WrestleMania 21. So my question for you guys is, what's a memorable moment that you didn't know what the direction that that a wrestling feud was going to take, and it took you by surprise? Obviously, not mentioning the one that you just previously did.
Well, I can answer one for Jesse that I know I for sure know. I'd have to think about mine, but definitely when Sadus beat Devlin Kane for the belt at the University of Wisconsin.
I had no damn clue.
That was fantastic.
You guys worked me. That was great.
He looks right at me. He goes, "What the fuck just happened?" Like under his breath, so you can hear it on the commentary. But that was awesome.
Hand over the mic is like,
it was just like.
Because we were both silent, and you know, I knew what would happen ahead of time because AC Riley told me. But you know, that's the best part about commentary, I think. Because you know, like whenever we used to, we haven't done commentary together in a while, which kind of sucks. But when we used to do ACW, I remember, you know, I'd always try to make sure I didn't see the results because how are you supposed to naturally, you know, do it if you already know who's going to win? And you know, it's. The emotions don't come out as much if you're already reading into how they're going to finish things, and but I know that one definitely sticks out quite a bit. It was that University of Wisconsin lacrosse show.
Yeah, that was probably one of the biggest shocks? Because, you know, when you're doing the initial booking and you're telling us, you know, oh, we're going to probably have Devlin King go over and do a double DQ or something like that. Well, like, yeah. So, like, you're sitting there and you see it and you're like, well, let's just go from there. And it was a very good shock and amaze. But, like I agree with Nick, like, anytime we get a rundown, I really don't like to know who's going to go ahead and go, who's going to win. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you can kind of guess.
Yeah.
But it's very nice to know that you don't know.
Yeah.
Because you need to be very natural and come across very natural, too, especially when you got to remember you're the commentator and whoever's watching that DVD or something like that, you're kind of like their funnel into this reality. So if you're already pulling back that fourth wall and kind of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, telling them the fucking rules, they're going to skip that match no matter what.
Right. I think for me, the one that comes to mind in particular that I remember the most vividly was the first ACW show, I think, that I ever had the chance to call. Pornstache and Mario Andrew Crivello.
The mustache versus mustache
match?
I didn't.
That might have been the only match in the card that I didn't know the finish to beforehand. So that one, I know because I was like, I cannot wait. I don't want to know who has to shave off their mustache. So that was, I mean, I don't know if I was super duper surprised, is because I mean the mustache is just a mustache thing, but still,
it's a good thing. And like if you look like recently, just as a fan, you know, like Lesnar going over Taker, that's one of those matches you never really guessed that would have happened. Elimination Chamber back in 2012 when you had Daniel Bryan and Santino the Last Steward, you're like, fuck, Santino could actually win this one. He actually bought into the reality of that. That's why it's really good, and that's why you know you kind of want to watch. Like watching sports, there's no way in hell you could have scripted that Cleveland would have came back from a 3-1 deficit.
The Patriots would have came back from a 28-3 deficit.
Or you know, you would have saw the Cubs come back from a 3-1 deficit, right. Or even the Red Sox back in 03. It's one of those things, or actually it's 04. So it's one of those things where you just don't expect it. That's why you watch it. So sometimes when it is really telegraphed, you just feel deflated when you see that ending. And I think that kind of like brings the whole show to a full circle based on the talk that we had with spoilers and all that jazz earlier.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing, too, is that I think a lot of people realize after they have bell-to-bell services or other services that provide video is like how important commentary can be to a show, because it really helps tell that feels stories, and it really adds a lot to that. Because, you know, when you're – sometimes when I'm watching – old school WWE or WCW or whatever, because sometimes if I'm cleaning around the house, I'll just put that on in the background.
Yeah.
But commentary is extremely important. Commentary can make or break a show sometimes, you know what I mean? So I'm really sorry to anybody that had to listen to like the first few years of us doing commentary for New Age Wrestling, but I'm not sure if anything could have saved some of those shows.
Oh, come on, man.
commentary.
He's not wearing a belt.
How cool. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was awful.
Some really bad stuff.
I think with that commentary, that was that moment where you guys had hit your stride of like, all right, this is our dynamic.
Well, the belt one?
Yeah.
Where I lost my shit for like
10
minutes?
Because I mean, you guys, like, obviously at that point you guys were really comfortable working with each other, and obviously you're just goofing around trying to make each other laugh by just saying just random
shit. I don't even think it was that. What it was we were just being observant.
That's the worst part. You're being very observant, and it was just like obviously you guys were just on the brink of laughing no matter what, but it's just you'd say a comment, and then it's like, let's admit, the match wasn't going to be anything phenomenal.
What the fuck, man? It was the best match on the show.
That's saying a lot for New Age Wrestling.
Camel Joe? You remember Camel Joe?
I remember Camel Joe.
Camel Joe. But I think that's the thing, though, is that you kind of see that, like,
just
now, whenever you guys do commentary together, is, like, you guys can, you know, play the matches, but at the same time, you can have fun with each other.
Well, yeah, that's...
And that makes
that's
a good chemistry.
One of the games that anyone who does commentary with each other, usually it's called try to make them break. Roadhouse got me this past weekend.
Did he?
There was a gal at this benefit show. We basically started using her as target practice for really easy jokes. At one point, I said something about, like, I've never seen anyone that thin before. She was an older woman, very thin. Somehow she had lunch lady arms, even though she was really thin.
Right.
And Roadhouse went, well, Hitler has. And I literally lost my shit. I'm just like, when I look back at him, he's like, like just geeking out. She looked like the Crypt Keeper with a fucking mullet. That's how bad this chick was.
The Crypt Keeper used to scare me when I was a little kid.
Yeah,
this lady would have scared me. When it made me laugh, I'd have been like, "Whoa, Crypt Keeper."
Well, they always had Crypt Keeper. Always had a really good pun after every story. Well, I guess that's what you call a splitting headache. And then, of course, the laugh. Right?
Couldn't watch it, man. Scared me.
And then next story. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, that does it for this week on Grapple Talk. Tape study this week coming from me. I say go watch that that match, that convict.
Oh, the convict versus Butchie Davis, actually.
Butchie Davis. Just go search that on YouTube and find it.
Yeah.
I'm going to post it because I
we'll post it. We'll post it, man.
Oh, you'll post it?
We'll post it.
All right, fine. Yeah, whatever. It's a two-parter, so, I mean, you got to listen to the whole – you got to watch the whole thing. But
it's good, though.
It's terrible commentary.
Back in the day when you had to post videos in 10-minute increments.
Yeah, it was a bitch.
Yeah, that's weird to think about.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that anymore.
So, again, hit up the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Otherwise, Twitter @TheGrappleTalk. Otherwise, just search Grapple Talk. We're one of the top top clickable links on Google. Thanks for joining us this week. And as always, enjoy your independent wrestling weekend and stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
GrappleTalk.com/TheFacebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I think I just had a stroke.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores
gosh.
For good reason.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.